Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. Fantastic. Well, we are going to get into the Word. I need a music stand. I don't know where they all are. Here they are. I was like, Brian, table church is so much easier because we're not on stage. It's just acoustic. And he's like, now I got to break it down during service, not just before or after. So let's see if I trip on anything. Someone catch me. All right. Well, I'm excited to dive into our new series, Transformers. We were going to have a really cool Transformer come today made out of Legos, but the owner is homesick. So stay tuned next week. We will have a really cool Transformer. I don't know what it transforms into. I'm not really well-versed in these things, but I do like it. So I'm learning with everybody else. More importantly, the Bible, though, hopefully. So this is my first sermon here in actually a few weeks because of Christmas. So we had the Christmas celebration. Wasn't that fantastic? And the play, and Shayna is not in here, but I wanted to publicly honor all the work she did to make that happen, leading that. So if you see her afterwards, thank her. And then the Christmas Eve service, and then Christmas morning, which was really special if you got to come. And then we had last Sunday where Pastor Tom shared as well. And so today we're going to be launching into a focus on Transformers. So everyone say Transformers. And give me a little extra grace. I'm a little tired, and I'm not used to talking with people behind my back and in front. So hopefully I can make eye contact with everyone here today. So tomorrow, we're going to be launching our 21-day fast. So everyone say 21 days. And I'm glad no one just like didn't just hightail it out the door, because if you're newer to church or you're newer to Jesus, or even if you're not, you might picture a 21-day fast as something that involves maybe starving and maybe losing your job because you're so hungry and it's just a mess, right? I have never done a food fast that long, but if you have done a food fast that long, don't announce it, because that's part of the point. You're not supposed to be like broadcasting what you're doing. Just FYI, that's part of the fast, right? Anyone ever been around and they're like, I will now be doing a 21-day, no, just water fast. And everyone's like, isn't that supposed to be between you and Jesus? Like, isn't that in the Bible? Like, you're probably not supposed to be boasting about that, right? But there is something that is called a corporate fast, and that's what we're doing. So it's okay to talk about it, obviously. I've been around some people who have done 40-day water fasts. And let me tell you, that is an experience. It was some of the most inspirational times, because I wasn't doing it, but they were, and it was amazing to watch them just fall in love with Jesus in a way that it was just incredible. But I want to make it clear that that is not what I'm asking us to do. If that's something you want to do, please talk to your doctor first, because that is a very big, some of us might not make it on that. So just a little warning there, do not try at home, right? So just check with your doctor if you're doing a full food fast. But how many woke up on January 1st realizing that you needed something to hold on to in this year? I know last year, Brian and I thought we had some money that was promised to us coming, and then the government changed a bunch of laws, and Brian's job that he was working last year didn't quite pan out the way we thought it did. And so that money that we were going to hold on to, we couldn't hold on to. Anyone ever have that experience in the last 6 months? Maybe it was a paycheck or a job promotion or just something. I know I made some new friends last year. And no, I'm not talking about anyone in the room, because that would not be what I'm talking about. But I made some new friends, and I didn't get to like develop the friendship the way I wanted to. And that was disappointing. Did anyone have any kind of relational things that you thought you could maybe hold on to, and it didn't quite happen the way you wanted it? Or maybe you had a New Year's resolution and you're already broke it. Anybody else? Can we just have a confessional? A group confessional. That's biblical, right? Yeah, me too. So when I woke up January 1st, I knew I needed something to hold on to that was deeper and stronger than last year. Because what I thought I was going to be able to hold on to last year, I couldn't hold on to it. And instead of just disappointing myself again this year, maybe I'll try just holding on to Jesus in those areas, right? That would be the intelligent thing to do. And so that's what we're going to be talking about and focusing on during our 21-day fast. There are several fasts that are mentioned in the Bible. We have Jesus fasting before his public ministry. Nehemiah fasted to help him confess his sins and turn away from them and ask for favor. David fasted to ask God to intervene. Mordecai and the Jews fasted upon hearing news of the plot to kill them. That's with Esther. The early church over in the New Testament fasted while worshiping and committing their ministry to the Lord. They also fasted when they were appointing new leaders in the church. And so there are a lot of different models for what a fast can be. And there's the complete fast. So everyone say the complete fast. That's where you call your doctor and you talk to Jesus, right? There's the partial fast. And that's like a Daniel fast. And those are really neat because your body feels different and you're able to really focus on God because it's a constant reminder that you don't have what you normally have, but you're still able to be alive and do your job, which is also great. The non-food fasts, those became very hip and popular, but I think we're only adults in the room. The only non-food fast, or one of the only non-food fasts you see in the Bible is sex. So I'm just going to put that out there. However, I think you can do a non-food fast like social media. I think that's okay. And for some of us, that might be literally the best thing we could fast, or our phones, or something like that. So that's also something to prayerfully consider as I go on here. But fasting is not about begging God for something that you want, or it's not about depriving yourself of something that you need to just see how cool or how strong your body is. In fact, that's like the last thing it's supposed to be. It's about transforming our relationship with God and discovering who He is more than ever before. Because what we normally go to sustain us, we're not going to anymore. And if you just fill that with something else, that's not the point. The point is to go to God for that. Amen? I love this quote by Mike Bickle. Fasting restrains our physical pleasure, but it enhances our spiritual pleasure. Our greatest pleasures come by feasting on the person of Jesus. So today I want to highlight three things that a fast does. And the last one I'm going to stay the longest on, and it has to do with a dream I actually had 2 weeks ago. But number one, fasting humbles us and opens the door to God's favor. 1 Peter 5 says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. And fasting reminds us how dependent we are on God. I don't know about you, but I would really not like to admit that my entire mood can be dependent on my breakfast or zoning out on social media or getting my favorite TV show. But has anyone had a mood crash if you don't get your breakfast or you don't get on social media or you don't get to watch your TV show? Hey, maybe it's not TV or breakfast. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's an addiction. There are all sorts of things that we can say, oh no, that's a healthy thing, but when we go to it instead of going to God, then it's not healthy. And then some things are just obviously not healthy. But how many know that it's really easy to point out an unhealthy thing when you're doing something that you think is healthy, but you're doing it in the wrong way? Anybody? It's so easy to point a finger to your neighbor and say, oh, that is so unhealthy. What are they doing, right? When we're doing something ourselves that's unhealthy. And so a fast is about revealing really how sensitive our flesh is to that we're dependent on it, right? And so it's a humbling experience, remembering who God is. Number two, a fast refreshes and strengthens us. One of the most profound Bible verses in the New Testament is in Matthew 4. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. I think that's profound because even Jesus got hungry. Thank God we can all get a little hungry together. But if you continue down, the profoundness of that scripture increases by a lot. Don't worry. Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." What I love about that is that even God could, Jesus didn't give in to the temptation after the 40 days, right? He didn't give in to the temptation during the 40 days with the devil. And we're thinking, well, of course, he's God, right? Anyone ever been like that? Well, it's like, of course, he's God. However, what I love about that scripture is that he was hungry as a man, and he didn't give in. And so I don't know about you, but it's real easy to seek God, or it can be easier, maybe, when we're all together on a Sunday morning. And that's why it's important to be together, because it creates a space to do that. But on Monday morning, when our flesh is hungry, are we seeking God, or are we giving in to something that we shouldn't be giving into? Are you guys following me? Maybe it's in our marriage, maybe it's with our kids, maybe it's in our work, maybe it's in our attitude. But you don't know how strong your faith is until you strip away the clutter and the noise. You know, I was listening to a book, it's called Delete That. Has anyone ever read that book? It's by John Crist. If you don't know John Crist, he is a Christian comedian. He's pretty great. Let's put that out there. We have a comedian coming in March, so stay tuned. I'm very excited. We've never done something like that. So something, but not John Crist, unfortunately. But anyway, John Crist wrote a book, and he was talking about his personal journey with addiction. And in rehab, they didn't let him have his phone. They didn't let him be around. No one could know who he was because it inflated his ego, and he had a problem with that. And he said it was just quiet. He couldn't go to his phone. He couldn't be filled with praise of who he is. Or, you know, he was literally banned from doing comedy because he had been going to it for sustenance. Get that. And so fasting is about, instead of going to what you normally go to for sustenance, instead of going to your daily bread, you're going to God. And I don't know if anyone needs to fast comedy here, but find what your thing is that you keep going to feed off of, and then feed off of Jesus instead. Are you guys following me? Galatians 5, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Biblical fasting means saying no to your flesh and yes to the Spirit. And I know y'all came here for like a feel-good Launch 2023 message, but let me tell you, you're not going to have a feel-good 2023 unless you start saying yes to God and no to your flesh, right? There we go. Number three, everyone say number three. All right, a fast transforms our relationship with God. We become transformers. All right, so this is where I'm going to land the message, and we're just going to spend just a minute here because all our kids are dancing on lava. If you have a problem, talk to Pastor Natalie. I did not approve that with our insurance company. So this new Transformer series is all about one question, and this is the question that I was dreaming. It was before Christmas, and a lot of times I'll get a sermon series theme in my dreams. And I think it was last year or the year before, I actually had God speaking to me in my dreams. Like I could hear a voice. It was quite amazing. And so I had this dream a few weeks ago, and I heard God say, or I heard a voice say, "Who do you say I am?" And then I heard the response, "Emmanuel, who do you say I am?" And I woke up and I was like, I got to preach on who do you say I am? But the next Sunday it was a Christmas sermon. And I'm thinking, well, I can make it a Christmas sermon, but like I'm supposed to do a Christmas sermon. So how does this all connect? And so what I realized was this was actually the question for 2023. Who do you say God is? And the answer to this question will determine whether you want to be here this morning or you don't. It will determine whether you want to be alive or you don't. It'll determine why you have hope or you don't. It'll be the answer for why you can forgive somebody or yourself, or you can't. It'll be the reason that I am still a pastor, or I'm not. Who do I say God is? See, if I say he's some distant authority figure, I'm going to feel like he's hounding me all the time, and I have to go to church, or I'm going to be punished or something. Or if I see him as a loving father who forgives, I'm going to forgive because I was first forgiven. Are you following? So this is the question that I want us to be asking during this fast. Matthew 16, 13 through 20 says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi," I've been there and it is one of the coolest places in Israel. It's so beautiful. "He asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am?" Isn't that great? When God asks us a question, we're like, well, they say this, or well, Google said that, right? And God's like, wait, I'm asking you, right? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So first, they said, you're like, some say you're Elijah or Jeremiah. And those were major prophets. Even John the Baptist, we're talking about a great preacher. He'd be like one of the famous preachers on TV right now. They're like, well, you're that. And if we only see God as that, then we're missing out on who God is and what he wants to do in our lives. And so that's why we're asking, who do you say that God is? If you say God is a dictator, then your marriage is going to turn toxic real fast. If you say God is bigger than what I see, you'll have hope for tomorrow. If you see God is smaller than your problems, you won't have strength for today. And this is almost like something you can do as a health check. Anybody ever woken up and just been like, I do not want to get out of bed? Anybody? I have a serious problem with that. You can ask my husband. And, you know, at first, Brian's like, because I used to get up real early and get a lot done. And Brian's like, why can't you get out of bed? And I'm like, first off, it's freezing in our room because his body temperature is like 100 degrees hotter than mine. But after we worked that problem out in our marriage, I was like, you know what? Sometimes I just can't get out of bed. And it's like there's a weight. And that's not something to just be like, oh, we'll just suck it up and get out of bed. Well, no, maybe I need to just go over, what am I believing about God? Am I waking up today thinking God is smaller than what I'm going to face? Or am I waking up today reminding my problems who God is instead of God who my problems are, right? That's a real thing. It's like a health check. Who we see God is life or death. You know, if I asked Deborah to raise her hand, would Dana raise his hand? No? If I asked Judith to raise her hand, let's see all the D names, would Demian raise his hand? Are you guys following this? If I asked Joy to raise her hand, would Damon, we got a Dana, Demian, and Dane. Yeah. I was like, we prayed for Jesus to bring in the people. Everyone's got a D name. I'm like, God, help me. It's so much fun to say all your guys' names. We need a group photo one day. But anyway, why not? Because a name identifies somebody, right? So if I call Caleb, Caleb better get up. If someone else gets up, I'll be like, what's going on here, right? Names matter. One of my favorite vacation stories with my parents, we'd saved up and we were going to, I believe it was Rhode Island or something. It was like a really random place, but my mom found this like little hotel we could stay in for just a couple days. Anyone ever like to just go to the ocean? I'm like, if I just see the ocean, I'm a happier person for the rest of the year, even if it's just once, right? And so my mom, we're going to get in late. So my mom calls the hotel and they're like, we don't have a reservation for you. And she's like, no, like I booked it online. Here it is. And they're like, no, we literally, you don't exist in our system. What's going on? So she looks at it closer and she had found a hotel by the same name in a town in the wrong state. And she had booked it in the wrong state. And my dad's like, I'm not going to drive like, you know, 10 hours in the opposite direction to go to the hotel you booked tonight. Names matter, right? Names matter. You don't see a ton of people naming their kid like Hitler or Judas or Benedict Arnold, right? Isn't that just the weirdest thing? I don't understand. What's wrong, right? Why aren't those the popular 2023 names, right? I'm actually related to Benedict Arnold, so if you're still okay coming to our church, you can work on forgiveness later. But names are associated with identity and reputation. You know, Brian and I were in Hungary at one point, and in Budapest, and I was meeting my friend who's Hungarian. And baby names came up because it was like her wedding, so that's what you talk about. I don't know why, but anyway, we're talking about baby names. And she was like, I was like, oh, well, like, what are the names that you name kids in Hungary? And she's like, well, no, the government comes out with like 30 names every year that you can name your child in our country. I was like, excuse me? And apparently, if you want to name your child another name, you have to apply for a permit, and they can approve you or not. So if you think it's getting bad here, just open your eyes a little bit for what's going on in the world. I was like, are you kidding me? I would name my child some weird name just to like defy. No, I wouldn't. I do not promote defying the government. I don't. But anyway. But if I said like Betty Crocker, would your stomach might start growling, right? Because there's something associated with the name. If I said a couple other names that I won't say, maybe something else would start, you'd start thinking about, right? And so names matter among the people. And in biblical times, names actually meant even more. Names actually represented people's character. So I know I did a whole sermon series on changing names in the Bible back when we changed our name. And it was like when God changed a name, he was revealing something deeper about the person that he wanted to release. And so names matter. I love the names of God. Who do you say I am? El Roy, the God who sees. Everyone say the God who sees. That was when in Genesis 16, God met an Egyptian slave girl where she was at and saw her pain. You can read more about that and find out who she was and all of that. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. Everyone say the all-sufficient God. That's Genesis 17. God met Abram and made him a father of nations where he and his wife had no children. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Everyone say, the Lord my banner. I was thinking, what does that mean? Is like God teaching dance class with the banners, or what's going on here? Banner represented deliverance and victory in battle. That's Exodus 17. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, Genesis 22, when God provided a ram in the bush for Abraham so he didn't have to sacrifice his son. That's when that name came. So these names that we're singing and these names of God represent moments when somebody was in a crisis and called on the name of God, and God became real to them in a way they'd never seen him. Or they were celebrating who God was after a victory, and God revealed a part of who he is. We are transformed when we let God be who God is in our lives, and that comes through his names. Psalm 34, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Proverbs 18, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And we have our Father. Hallowed be your name. And I don't know if anyone, I don't know why, but everyone always memorizes that in the King James, right? As a kid, I was like, hallowed be your name. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. And Brian didn't memorize it in that version. So when I did that challenge for everyone to pray that prayer every day, we're trying to pray it together. And he's like saying like the New Living Translation. I'm over in King James and we were having a little battle of translations. But the point is that hallowed, you might not know what that means. Normally you don't hear it at Wegmans, right? Hallowed means set apart or holy. Right? And so I heard this example. I like this. You have your dirty dishes. Don't come to my house. You'll see a lot of them. You have your common dishes in the cupboard, right? And then you have your fine dishes. And if you've ever been to my mother-in-law's house, she has a sacred fine dish cabinet. And if you break a dish, which I have almost done multiple times, I probably wouldn't have been able to marry their son, right? Because there's like 100 years of china in that. And that is these sacred dishes. And you only get them out for special occasions. Anybody have that? Anybody break a sacred dish? Can we just have an honest morning? Thank you. Welcome. All right. Me too. And so you have your sacred dishes and they're set apart. And you know, one of the Ten Commandments is to not take the Lord's name in vain. And in our culture today, just profanity and all that, it's just kind of become normal. In fact, it's like easy to do and it's kind of easy to justify doing. Like, well, I was in a stressful situation. I'm always like, whoa, okay. There's a lot of words in the alphabet to choose from, right? Or letters to put together to form something in a stressful situation. But for some reason, you never hear like someone saying, oh, Buddha, right? You just don't hear that. How about like, ah, Hari H. Krishna or Muhammad, right? You just, no, in fact, you get some people up in arms over that, right? If you use that name that way. But you do hear people calling on the name of Jesus. There's got to be a reason, right? Amen, because he's real, exactly. And so not taking the Lord's name in vain has to do with realizing that the name of God is like fine china. It doesn't mean that we aren't with it, but it does mean it's set apart, and we're supposed to honor it. We're supposed to honor his name. Genesis 11, then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So this is where they're trying to build the Tower of Babel. And they were saying, we don't want your name. We want you, God, but we don't want your name. We want it in our name. So we want everything you're giving to us, but we want to put it in our name. And this is where the name it, claim it kind of stuff doesn't exactly work, because I can't just use Brian's last name on my debit card unless I'm married to him, unless I'm in relation, or shouldn't, right? Unless I'm in relationship with him, right? And so it's not just about using the name of God, or it's not just about keeping it holy, but it's also about honoring the name of God and realizing that the name of God speaks to who God is in our lives. Forgery is an unauthorized use of someone's name for illegitimate reasons. And the world likes to forge God's name. And unfortunately, some Christians across the world also like to do so. I'm sure none of us in here have ever pulled a God card on somebody, right? Trademark names People trademark names, right? And that means to hold on to the identity and character and purpose. So, like, I don't know, someone yell out a trademark name. Nike. What were you thinking? Apple. Exactly. Nike and Apple. When you say that word, when you say Nike, what do you think of? I was going to say, just do it. Isn't that their thing? Thank you. I was like, just do it, right? But when you think of someone's name, you immediately think of everything that they have branded, right? Maybe they did something bad and it's been in the news. Maybe they're high quality. Maybe they're low quality. Maybe they had a recall on their product. But it's all wrapped up in their trademarked name. And God is trademarked for eternity. Jehovah Jireh, that's an eternal trademark on the provider right there. It's never going away. And when you call on the name of God as your provider, you can receive him as your provider. Are you following? Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God will be strong and take action. So I want to wrap this up. We're going to get into the names of God more, and I'm so excited. I had another page of notes, but I didn't actually even put it in the sermon because I knew I wouldn't get to it today, but we're going to get deeper into the names of God because there's a purity in getting to know God by his names. And you may not have a name for your situation, but God has a name to give you for it. Are you following me? This year when Brian and I prayed, we felt like Jireh was our song, and we felt like God, our provider, was the name that God was writing on our hearts. And God wants to write his name on your heart for your situation. You might be getting a name for your marriage. You might be getting a name for your health. Whatever it is, God wants to speak his character into your situation. And he wants to give you a name that unlocks his character and his nature. Amen? So why don't you stand on your feet here? This past week, Brian and I were praying together. And if you're single, I highly recommend finding someone you can call or text and just say a prayer with daily. Maybe it's a coworker. If you're married, I recommend praying with your spouse every day, even just the Our Father. There's no just. Say the Our Father. That's a phenomenal prayer with your kids. But Brian and I were praying together, and I decided to use what I was going to preach about. Imagine that, right? And I decided to call God by the name of what he was teaching me about him. And I'm a little tired this morning, so I don't remember which name I called him, but it was a good name. And instead of just thanking God, I think it was God, my provider. I think that was the one. And instead of just thanking God for providing for something that we needed, I said, God, thank you that you are the God of provision, that you are Jireh. And I can't tell you what changed in my heart, because I wasn't just thanking God for something he did for me. I was thanking God for who he is. And it was like an anchor for my soul, because he gets to choose how he provides. So when I just thank him for being that, I'm saying, I trust you. I'm not just going to trust what you can do for me. I'm going to trust that this is who you are, no matter what it looks like. Amen? And so I encourage you, I'm going to hand these out. Maybe you can help me with this. Could you help me with that? Why don't you make sure everybody gets one, okay? I'm just going to read through these. The next 21 days, I want to ask you, what are you using to sustain yourself throughout the day? Outside of oxygen and water, you know, the five basic necessities of life, or the three, or whatever they are. What are you using to sustain yourself? Brian and I exchanged our phones and put passcodes on, did each other, like a passcode for each other's phones on certain apps to limit it. And that's going to be part of our fast. Maybe it is a food fast, because those are really powerful. Maybe it's a partial fast or a Daniel fast. Maybe it's a prayer fast. I know Pastor Tom has done this, where he said, every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to spend an hour or 2 hours or whatever he did, 30 minutes, in prayer every single day, no questions asked, every morning. And that's going to be my 21 days. I just want to ask you, what are you using to sustain yourself? And then ask God if he's asking you to give that up to him, or he's asking you to shift that so that you're going to him for your sustenance the next 21 days, hopefully for the rest of our lives, but the next 21 days as we dedicate this year to him. And to use this 21-day fast to ask God, what name are you showing me about who you are? What part of your character are you revealing for this year? Not just for me personally, but for our church, for our nation. Maybe it's for another nation. And I'm going to go through this as we close here, the 21-day prayer fast. There are so many names of God to choose from. Please do not judge me by the ones that I chose for this fast. And if you're like, well, what about this name? This name should have been on it. Fantastic. Why don't you pray it? Like, there is no wrong answer here, okay? But I felt like these were the seven that God was calling us to pray together in unity, all right? So Monday is Emmanuel. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us, Matthew 1. The prayer theme will be restoration and health in families and relationships. Get specific. Tuesday is Waymaker. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters. The prayer theme will be to pray for breakthrough in an impossibility in your life and in our church community. Wednesday is Redeemer. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Pray for someone who doesn't know God. Check the prayer wall that we have on our website. Thursday is Provider, and God will meet all of your needs. Prayer theme, pray for Reach Out Malawi and our local church for every need to be met supernaturally. Friday is Healer. With the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Isaiah 53. Pray for someone you know who is sick or needs a healing physically or emotionally. Saturday, Prince of Peace. He will be called the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9. For peace in our nation and the local area. And then Sundays, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the prayer theme is to speak the name of Jesus over your life, friends, family, and the Thrive community. And you'll notice there's a dare for every day. And again, if you've got kids or you're married or you've got a friend, and if you're in the church, you got a friend, all right? I encourage you to find someone and hold you accountable to doing this. And I made a dare on there because we'll get to this in a sermon down the line here where fasting isn't just about giving up food or giving up something that sustains us, but fasting is also about making a difference and an impact in people's lives. And we see that written in the Bible as well. And so the dare is to kind of go out. So this isn't just a total inward fast, but there's also an impact being made. All right? So I encourage you to take this challenge. And, you know, if giving something up sounds scary, just give up your time and pray this. All right? And next Sunday, we're going to check in and we're going to go into the names of God like Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh, and what they mean for us. And it's not just going to be a Hebrew teaching, but it's actually life-changing. And it changed people's lives in the Bible, and it will change your life as you pray to God. We're not talking about 1,000 different gods. We're talking about one God who has so much character that we can actually recognize the different parts of who he is and honor him in our lives, and he releases breakthrough as we do. Amen? So I bless you today to know Emmanuel, that God is with you. I bless you today to know that God is your way maker and redeemer, to know God is your provider, your healer, your Prince of Peace, and your truth. I bless you today with the courage to say yes to God and no to whatever you've been going to sustain you or to escape into. I bless your body to be strengthened by communion with Jesus. And God, we just commit the next 21 days starting tomorrow to you. God, it would be a set apart time to get to know you, to be hallowed is your name, to recognize who you are in our lives, that you are holy. You're not just something that we can buy at the store. You're not just something that was 2,000 years ago. You are the same yesterday, today, and a billion years from now, because you are unchanging. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And we recognize you in our lives, God. And we surrender to you like it's the first time, 1,000 times again daily, especially during this 21-day fast. And God, I just also pray supernatural strength and grace over any marriages in the house today, God, that over the next 21 days, there would be breakthrough in marriages, not just in our community, in this church, but in our region. God, I thank you for parenting issues that people have been facing, questions they don't know how to deal with their kids. God, there would be supernatural answers and breakthrough. God, I thank you for physical health and mental health struggles in this church. God, I thank you for your healing power coming and touching us, especially during these 21 days. But more than anything we get out of the next 21 days, God, if all we got was you, it would be enough, because you are more than enough, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So take this. If you lose this, or God forbid, If you know me, that would be me. You can go to the bottom, thriveny.org/fast, okay? And you can also sign up there. I'm going to do like a text on Mondays. I'm not going to spam you, don't worry. But I'll do a text just to remind you and to encourage you. But that's not required. You can just do this on your own. Invite somebody, and you can download this piece of paper off our website. It's right there. All right? We'll see you next Sunday. We're going to go even deeper to God's names, get real practical with a transformer made out of Legos. All right. God bless you. Be a witness.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.